The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on April 5th, 1986 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 24, Text 206 to 210.
Translation. This land, Vrindavana, Brajabhumi, is glorified today. Your lotus feet have touched the earth and grass. Your fingers have touched the trees and creepers. And your merciful eyes have glanced upon rivers, hills, birds, and beasts. The gopis have been embraced by your arms. And even the goddess of fortune desires this. Now all of these are glorified. Purport. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.15.8 is spoken by Lord Krishna to Sri Balarama. Ga gopakara nuvanam nayatorudara venu swanai kalapadai stanubritsu sakya Aspandanam gati matang pulakastarunam niroga pasakrita lakshanayor vichitram. My dear friend, both Krishna and Balaram are passing through the forest, leading their cows with their cowherd boyfriends. They both carry robes with which at the time of milking, they bind the rear legs of the cows. When they play on their flutes, all moving living entities are stunned, and non-moving living entities experience ecstatic jubilation by their sweet music. All these things are certainly very wonderful. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.19. All the gopis are very attracted to Krishna when they saw him wandering in the forest with Baladeva. They thus praise the Lord's activities. Vanalotas tarava atmani vishnum vyanjayantya iva pushpa faladhya pranata bhara vitapa madhudara prema hrishta tanavo vravishushma. Translation. The plants, creepers, and trees were full of fruits and flowers due to ecstatic love of Krishna. Indeed, being so full, they were bowing down. They were inspired by such deep love for Krishna that they were constantly pouring showers of honey. In this way, the gopis saw all the forest of Vrindavana. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.35.9. Kirata hunanda pulinda pukkasa abhira sumbhaya vanakasadaya Yenye cha papa yadupasraya sraya sudhyanti tasmai prabha vishnave nama. Translation. Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pukasa, Abhira, Sumba, Yavana, and the Kasa races, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Agitirar tokori luar choyai Una bingshati arto hailo milie dui. Translation. I have already spoken about the 13 kinds of meaning. Now there are 6 more. Combine these make 19. Purport. So, the 6 different meanings are 1. Mental speculators. Vite verse 165. 2. Those engaged in different types of endeavor. See verse 168. 3. Those who are patient and sober. See verse 174. For those who are intelligent and learned scholars. See verse 187. 5. Those who are intelligent but illiterate and foolish. See verse 187. And 6. Those who are conscious of eternal servitorship to Krishna. Verse 201. Here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just in the Bhaktivedanta purport, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining before how the different plants or non-moving and low-born creatures, beasts, could be engaged and elevated in Krishna's service. For it was mentioned that everyone is eligible for devotional service. But to speak of great sages, the Kumaras, human beings, even the most low-born, even the beasts, even the plants, they could be elevated to devotional service. So in these previous verses, it mentions how when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he touched the trees and creepers, how he glanced over the rivers, the hills, the birds, the beasts, how he would milk the cows, and how by hearing his flute, living entities, even immobile entities, there are two kinds of entities. According to the Vedas, you can say stavar and jangam. Stavar means unmoving. Jangam means moving. So, non-moving plants, mountains, jewels, trees, these are considered non-moving. Generally speaking, they don't walk. Jangam, birds, fish, insects, reptiles, beasts, humans, they all fit under jangam. I mean, they're moving entities. Then amongst jangam, it's further subdivided into plants, fish, plants, aquatics, insects. Not the insects in the biological term of six-legged creature, but all form of bugs in the general sense. Reptiles, birds, and then animals, then human beings. This way, 8,400,000 species of life, broad species of life, described in the Vedas. So, amongst these, they consider that those animals which have four legs are better than those that have no legs. So like the snakes and other things, those that have moving on four legs, they're better. They can move faster, they can get around better. Then those that have hands are considered better than those that have four legs. Because with hands, you can do so many things. Even the monkeys, hands of course. And better than amongst those that have hands, of course, the human beings are considered the best. Amongst humans, there are uncivilized types of human beings, hunters, aboriginals, various kind of people who are not having much of an understanding of God consciousness, or very primitive people, rustic, I don't know exactly the right word, but Sambaras and others. So, and amongst the human civilized type, there's uncivilized and uncivilized, you can divide. And amongst the civilized, then they're categorized first as Veda Mukhamani, Dharma Nahagani, Papa Nishiddha Kore. That there are certain kind of people who believe in Vedic culture. The uncivilized are those who are not following any spiritual culture, who are violent, who are unregulated meat eaters, other form of uncivilized creatures, humans. Amongst the civilized, those who accept the principles of spiritual life, of Vedic culture, of progressive human development up to God realization, there are those who profess religion, profess God consciousness, but in name only. But actually, in practical life, they commit so many unauthorized activities, so many sinful activities. They're not living up to what they profess. Amongst these, better than that, are those that actually practice principles of religion. They follow the rules for known as the karma. They follow the authorized activities for achieving material happiness. Most religionists go to the churches to pray for wealth. Wealth is very important in material life because it's with wealth that we can achieve sense gratification. People like to have a lot of money so that they can buy the objects which will gratify their senses. This is the material reason why people are attracted to wealth. So, those people who try to achieve their wealth and their sense gratification by following the religious formulas, rituals given in various religious systems, they're considered karmakandis. They're better than those who just say they belong to a religion but they don't actually follow it. The differentiation is met. It is made there between those who claim to be followers of religion and those who actually are following, but for material upliftment, ultimately to achieve heaven, where they can have more sense gratification, more material happiness than they can have here. Higher than them are the Gyanis. The Gyanis are those who want to transcend the sense gratification and actually achieve salvation, achieve liberation. So it said out of millions of such karmakandis, you find one person who wants to achieve self-realization, who wants to really know who they are, who is God, at least want to be liberated from this material suffering. Amongst the millions of Gyanis, then you actually find someone who's perfected or siddha. And out of those millions of perfected souls, you'll find someone who is actually a devotee. And as such devotees, to find a pure devotee is very rare. It says, mukti bhakti siddhi kami sokali ashanto krishna bhakta niskam atoiv shanto. That of all those performing religion for sense, for their material happiness or for liberation or for achieving perfection and mystic power, all of them are not in the ultimate conclusion. They're not satisfied. They have got some unfulfillment. But the devotee of the Lord, Krishna's devotees, because they are completely desireless, they're without other material sense, other motive, they're shanto. They're completely self-satisfied. So, this is the basic division of entities in the world. Of all the entities, the Krishna devotee is considered the highest level of evolution. Now in modern society, people talk about how people are evolved. That someone is more evolved than another person, or their real evolvement. The basis for judging evolvement is given here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Especially, it's explained in the 7th, 8th, and 9th volume of the Madhya Lila in various ways. The teachings to Rupa and Sanatana and these subsequent teachings. The actual standard of evolving in human life and existence is given. The culmination of evolution is to become Krishna conscious, to become God conscious. To do so, it's not simply some kind of mental, so we think, you know, well, I'm conscious or I'm aware of something. With awareness comes a evolvement. It's not possible to be aware of God unless you can come up to a basic platform which is, at least qualitative-wise, equal with Krishna. That means you have to evolve up to a certain position, a platform, where from you can understand who is the Supreme Person of Godhead, what is God, who are we, how do we relate with God, with nature, with the entire existence. So, actually, it's simply a question of evolution. So normally people evolve one birth after the next, one life after the next, and gradually by this process they achieve to many, many births. Bahunam janmanamante gyanabang mang prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlavam. They achieve realization that Krishna is everything, there's nothing except for God, that everything is an expansion, either of His energy or directly a manifestation of His own power and glory, His own potency, His own self. So that's the ultimate point of evolution. So you can analyze people, you can see where they are according to this absolute standard. But normally people take a long time to come up to that under normal circumstances. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has done is he circumvented all of this standard procedures. Krishna has already initiated this program before, whereby he would elevate even plants and beasts and other creatures to the platform of being conscious of himself. Normally a plant is hardly conscious of much more than light or a few touch, few sensations. Not very highly evolved in their consciousness. But because Krishna is so intense, by his presence they actually became conscious of Krishna being present. And being conscious of Krishna, although they were plants, that meant they achieved the highest level of evolution. Being conscious of Krishna means that one is already above the evolutionary platform of liberation. One is already a liberated soul. So it's already far beyond the material platform. So that means by Krishna's personal presence, even someone who's far down in the level of evolution, they can be immediately promoted. Of course, Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago, and only the creepers and the plants in Vrindavana who had the opportunity of hearing Krishna's flute, of being glanced upon by Krishna, by being walked upon by Krishna and touched by Krishna, they got this special mercy. But 5,000 years later, when Krishna is not present, then what is the hope for living entities who are stuck within this evolutionary cycle? How can they supersede, get out of the insurmountable chain of events? Naturally, people like to get ahead. No one likes to just, although we are trained now in the Western world, we have to wait in queue, wait our turn. But everyone would like to jump the line, but of course we don't like to jump ahead of others, but we'd like to. Because we're conditioned that, well, we just can go one at a time. But if all of a sudden unlimited counters open up at the same time and you can all go be first in line, then it's all right. So in this way, Krishna is unlimited, so we don't have to wait one after another. We can all go simultaneously. So we don't have to wait when it's Krishna who's personally providing a facility. Point is, of course, people would like to not have to wait to achieve their complete happiness or highest perfection for an unlimited period of time. If they could immediately achieve it, so anyone who has the ability to comprehend it, they would naturally like to achieve it. But unfortunately, those who aren't evolved don't know about the opportunity. Just like these plants and creepers in Vrindavan, they don't know the opportunity that you do this, or you, they have no alternative. They're simply standing there. The beast or the uncivilized people, they're totally absorbed in simply trying to get something to eat through hunting or through scavenging or through some means. Then occasionally they're agitated to have a little sex life, or they're tired and they sleep, or they're attacked by something and they defend themselves. This is enough to take up their full occupation. And if they have a little time, then they kind of wander around and maybe they start to philosophize a little bit or something, but doesn't really get too far. So practically speaking, in a modern society, when you tell someone, why don't you participate in some self-realization, they have no time. Then you're reminded that if you have no time, then what is the real advancement of civilization? The aborigines have no time. Animals have no time for self-realization. So if the modern man has no time, then where is the advancement? They're doing the same thing that the aborigines are. Hard struggle for existence. Civilization in the modern world is supposed to be advanced. That means it should have time saved for some higher pursuit. In any case, actually, because in consciousness, not everyone is fully evolved, or even very far evolved. They're just at the basic levels of understanding religion or professing religion, or some are possibly trying to follow some religious principle for material happiness at best. The real meaning of life, or the higher purpose to understand the Supreme Person, that's not been really comprehended by people. So, just as Krishna personally in Vrindavan, he, by his wandering about and glancing, he would awaken these beasts, these animals, the birds, the plants and creepers, what to speak of others. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was personally present, Krishna again came 500 years ago as his own devotee, then he also awakened. But he didn't want to simply limit it to his own personal presence, because he could only be one place at a time. Of course, he could be everywhere simultaneously, but for practical purposes, since he was playing a particular leela or pastime, he would only be in one place at a time. But he wanted to simultaneously be everywhere and let everyone be awakened. So therefore, he appeared also in his form as the holy name. Nam Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Suddha Nitya Mukto Havinatva Nama Namino. That Krishna, holy name, Nama. Nama means name in Sanskrit. English comes from the Sanskrit language originally. Nama is the Sanskrit word for name. Similarity is unmistakable. Nama Chintamani Krishnas. That the holy name of Krishna is a desire tree. It's a touchstone. It provides complete fulfillment of all desire. It is spiritual. It is chit or conscious. Chaitanya rasa vigraha. It is living. And it is the form of transcendental ecstasy. Mellow. Purna suddho. It is completely pure. Nitya mukto. It is eternally liberated. Purnasuddha nitya mukto ha binatva nama namino. And there is no difference between the name of God and God himself. They are the same on the absolute platform. In the material world, the name and the named are different. Water and the substance water is different. You can call water in different names. Italian it's aqua. In Spanish it's agua. In Hindi it's pani. In Bengali, it's jal, or Sanskrit jala. Tamil, it's tani. Like this, it has so many different names. But the substance remains the same. But these names, although there are various names for the water, but if you call out whatever name you call, you'll still be thirsty. You need to drink the water. But on the absolute platform, everything is, by definition, is totally one, connected. So therefore, there's no difference between the name and the named. Maybe a difference in form to our perception, but in substance, in spiritual force, in spiritual potency and potential, there's no difference. There's no separation of time and space on the absolute platform. When you call, just like if I call out Reagan, President of America, sitting here in Atlanta, he's in Tokyo, he won't hear me because there's a separation of time, of space. We can bridge that through our telephones and other methods of telecommunication by sending that vibration through various means. But still there's a separation. We have to bridge that by various mechanical systems. But in the spiritual realm, time, space do not separate one thing from the next. How they are separated, that is something inconceivable to us, how things are existing, but you can say that on that platform, There is no such thing as separation as we know it in the material world. Therefore, when we call God, immediately He's present. Of course, He's present everywhere anyway, through His omnipotent, omnipresent feature. So by calling His name, He's personally present. Regan is not God. Therefore, you call His name, it falls on deaf ears, unless He's within a certain audible range. But Krishna being everywhere simultaneously, you can call on His name and another, just as a very simple, basic understanding, although there's higher conceptions behind it, but because He's everywhere, so He can hear you, so He's present. But of course, it's that the name and the named are the same. That's really inconceivable. But that is the definition given. That's the difference between the name of God and the name of anything else. So Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted that the people should, the living entities should be awakened, should be brought to that plain platform of Krishna consciousness that Krishna personally gave when He was present. When God was walking on this earth, the Supreme Person was glancing over the trees, was walking on the grass. Everything that came in contact with the Lord immediately became ecstatic, became evolved to the highest level. Irregardless of the body they were in, whether it was a plant body or a beast body or aboriginal body or whether it was a most highly civilized human body. Everyone became conscious of the Lord and thus they became immediately evolved to this highest level, especially in Vrindavana, where immediately they responded to this consciousness of the Lord with a devotional attitude. They reciprocated to the best of their abilities. This reciprocation is very important. How we reciprocate with Krishna when He gives us consciousness of Him. If we reciprocate in a favorable way, in an unmotivated way, in an unbroken way, if we reciprocate to Him with love, with devotion, with service, then He immediately also responds and reciprocates with us, giving us His unlimited love. The demons, when they become conscious of the Lord, they reciprocate with fear, anger, hatred, violence. The Lord is capable also reciprocating with them. This is the difference between devotees and demonic entities. Those who have been conditioned in a certain way, when they become conscious of God, they become envious of God. While devotees, when they become conscious of the Lord, they become in love with the Lord. So there are creatures or entities in this world who have the covering of being demons. So when they become conscious of the Lord, then this hatred, their love manifests in a negative form as hatred or envy. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita that there are two types of entities. So sometimes Krishna would meet up with entities who would respond to His presence with hatred. No one could ignore Krishna's presence because when He is present, He's so intense that immediately one becomes conscious of Him. One becomes God conscious. So those who are innocent or who are already slightly religious, they immediately become situated to the highest point of evolution of and develop love of Godhead. And those who were offenders of the Lord from before, offenders of His devotees, then they develop fear and hatred by being conscious of Him. So these two responses were seen. But nobody could ignore Krishna. Just like someone can't ignore the sun in the daytime if it's there. Can't say that it's not there. You can close your eyes maybe to the sun, but they couldn't close their eyes to Krishna. They would immediately be polarized. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He's very merciful. He never took offense from anyone. Even if people responded in a negative sense, He would still want to deliver them. He knew that this was simply due to previous offenses they had committed, and a slight adjustment in their consciousness could again bring it around. Hey, this is an opposite side of love. It's a negative attachment. And with a slight adjustment, it can again reverse and become love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was willing to make that adjustment to reverse people's even negative attitude that we cannot imitate. It's not easy to do. But for Lord Chaitanya, it was possible. For his empowered, pure, great liberated devotees, it's also possible to do. Normally for the preaching devotee, we avoid the demons. It's not easy to turn around their attitude. But sometimes it's possible by the mercy of great devotees of the Lord. In any case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to bring everyone to the platform of being conscious of Krishna. Not only where he was, but everywhere at the same time. So therefore he told his followers, you chant the Lord's name. Because wherever the Lord's name is, Krishna is. And thus people will be conscious of Krishna. And by being conscious of Krishna, immediately they'll become evolved. And gradually they'll become up to the level of Krishna conscious or God conscious. Thus they'll be situated in their constitutional eternal position as eternal servitors or lovers of God. So, thus Lord Chaitanya sent out his chanting parties to give the consciousness of Krishna to everyone. Thus he circumvent the normal, tedious, cumbersome, lengthy process of evolution of consciousness and immediately awakens people to the higher levels of consciousness, opens the door for them to become fully evolved as completely God-conscious entities. And once you're fully God-conscious, then at the end of this life, you can go back to home, back to Godhead. You become liberated from the material world. You become situated in your complete perfectional status. So, there are many examples of this. This is confirmed by Haridas Thakur. He instructed a devotee who wanted to know whether it's better to chant softly. He said it's 100 times better to chant loudly because by chanting loudly, all the creepers, all the animals, all the birds and other entities that hear the vibration, they're benefited, they're uplifted. Similarly, Haridas Thakur also, when the Lord expresses intense desire how to deliver all of the conditioned souls, he said, I flooded the entire world. Everyone is chanting the holy name. Except there are these few types of people who are escaping me. How to get them also? He said, the javanas, the meat eaters, they are avoiding this mercy. And he said, the students, and the mental speculators, scholars, academicians, who are so proud of their false understandings and their mental concoctions and ideas, isms, they're somehow or another, they're also, many of them are avoiding this mercy due to their various mental blocks that they've constructed. And a few other categories of hard nuts, fishermen, hunters, people that escaped. He thought that how to get them also. Then Haridas Thakur said, well, if you flooded everyone else, so in this flood, some people are swimming in the water and some people are just being swept away. They're floating in the waters. Somehow or another, everyone will be swept away, whether they like it or not. In the floodwaters, some may be swimming and other things may be floating. Somehow or another, everything gets swept away. Haridas Thakur also said that by your mercy, even accidentally, if people chant the holy name of Krishna, that will help them to spiritually evolve. By accident, he gave the example. The Muslims, they have a word which means offender, blasphemer, or something like, you might say, heathen. would mean in English. The word is called haram. Say if someone were to bring pig meat into the mosque or something. Haram, haram. Horrible. Paganistic or heathenistic. So Haridas Thakur says somehow or another they're saying Ram. Haram. Even by accidentally saying Ram, they're giving some, it's called Nama Abhash, it's a shadow or reflection of the holy name that also is saving them from repetition of births. So here, even in America, we find the Ramana Hills, the Ramana Inns, and different Lando Rama, Wako Rama, different Ramas, or at least Rama is quite prevalent. Somehow or another, people are getting contact with the Lord's name, either accidentally, and of course people, in general, Hare Krishna has become a household word, so at least sometime or another in their lives they may say Hare Krishna, which also takes its effect in helping them to evolve spiritually to this perfectional platform. It already puts them on the track. So, this way, Haridas Thakur tried to comfort and reassure Lord Chaitanya, to appease his anxiety. Prabhupada explained that this is the mood of the devotee, is that to satisfy the desire of the Lord, if the Lord is having an anxiety, the devotee wants to end that anxiety. So therefore, we are all following in the footsteps, dasa, the footsteps of the great devotees, like Haridas Thakur. We want to satisfy Lord Chaitanya's desire. He wants that all of the living entities, not only the highly evolved, great, spiritual, awakened sages, munis, priests, so on, but even the common man, even the uncivilized people, even the beasts, the plants, the trees, everything, every entity, he wants to see them all given the highest perfection of God consciousness. Therefore, this Atmarama verse, that how the bondage of all living entities is broken, he's explained by giving these various meanings of the Atmarama verse. And he's showing different kinds of people who can be liberated by the Lord's holy name. So that the different types are expanding, mental speculators, those engaged in different types of endeavor, those who are patient and sober, those who are intelligent and learned, those who are intelligent but illiterate and foolish, those who are conscious of eternal servitorship to Krishna. In other words, from the mental speculator, from those who are just active, all various kinds of people and entities are all eligible to become God conscious. Those who are already somewhat conscious, who are already conscious that the duty of an entity is to serve and love God, they're the top of the level, and the bottom you have so many other varieties. So, but Lord Chaitanya wanted all of these entities to be awakened to full God consciousness, to be completely evolved. So, in this way, Krishna conscious movement is meant to revolt against the evolutionary process and to immediately promote all forms of entities to the top rung of evolution. Real evolution is not Darwin's theory. Real evolution is evolution of consciousness. Darwin's theory is a speculation which is not a fact and will never be proven because it doesn't have basis in reality. It's similar to the actual reality. There is evolution of consciousness. There is a development of species, but in a different way than what he's understood. This is explained in the Vedas. And ultimately, it can be understood through this evolution of consciousness. One soul transmigrates to the next body, to the next body. And there's naturally a link. Why one entity goes to the next form of body is a progression, a development of desires, of aspirations, of necessities. Just as if you crawl around as a caterpillar, you desire to move at a little faster pace so much that in the end you turn into a cocoon and turn into a butterfly. Even in the same life, the will is so great. So in a similar way, life after life, a person can evolve. That's a long, tedious process. So we want to circumvent all that, to transcend it, to immediately take people to the highest level of spiritual evolution. So when we preach to different people, we recognize that what level are they on now? Are they mental speculators? Are they gyanis? Are they yogis? Are they people who are believing in a religious process and practicing? Are they just people that are giving lip service? Are they people who are basically uncivilized in terms of spiritual values? What level are they on? And accordingly, somehow or another, we engage them. Krishna's being conscious of Krishna through whichever the various means that we have, especially chanting the holy name. The more that this vibration spreads, it makes entities conscious of Krishna. It polarizes people. We've seen in Harinam, sometimes people walk by and they just hold their ears. They don't want to hear it. They run away. It means such a strong reaction. Somebody sits on the street and chants any other song, you never find such intense emotional reactions from people. Why will people cover their ears and run and become excited? Or some people, they become enraptured and different. Because it's Krishna. You can see Krishna working. And if someone will chant Hare Krishna, they'll also see how Krishna works in their life, how the Lord is present in His name. Teachings of all great religious teachers. In the Bible it says that the name is holy, name is powerful, one should chant the name of the Lord. In the Psalms it says how chanting the names of God with cymbals and drums used to dance in the street. This is Lord Chaitanya's process, singing and dancing the names of God in the streets, everywhere. In the Quran, it glorifies the name of Allah, name of God, the one without a second. In other teachings, like Guru Nanak or other various teachings, it also glorifies chanting the name of God. So Lord Chaitanya gives the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord in a very systematic way. And his advice is Kirtaniya Sada Hari, or rather order, that constantly chant the holy names of the Lord, of Hari. He will uplift you immediately to his transcendental platform. There is no higher form, no quicker form of evolution. People like to evolve their personalities, their existences, their entity, their self, to the highest potential. Then this is the method for doing it. Practice Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.